Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. Thanking God for all you've been listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to shout out to those who listen to the broadcast now here in the United States. Welcome to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry. To those of you listening in the country of Spain, I want to welcome you also. And in the United Kingdom, I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any questions about the message, we will answer it to the best of our ability in Christ Jesus. If you have any comments, any prayer requests, call at this number, 515-605-9887. Now, it being Saturday, this is the Full Gospel Message Hour with Brother Eddie Lee. And as we await for our brother to come on and head this off, once again, I want to take this time to thank the Lord Jesus for all of you that's been listening to this broadcast. And amen. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to let you know at this hour what he is saying, what he's going to do, what he's going to bring to pass. And we pray this day that you would hear this message. Take it to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Amen. Take it to him in prayer, people. This is a very important hour and very important time that we do such a thing as that, because now is the time, amen, that we need to especially hear from the Lord Jesus, and amen, we need to know what we need to know concerning his perfect will and what he is to do in this last days, in this end time, amen. So glory be to God on that note. Amen. And so once again, this is the Full Gospel Message Hour with Brother Eddie Lee. Amen. And glory be to God. A blessed day and time in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. A great opportunity you've given us to get this message, to get the word out to his people. Amen. And in a time and an hour where we must be aware that our adversary, the devil, is out there lurking around seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And once again, make sure that you keep your communication lines open to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Because I'm telling you at this hour, this is an hour where you're going to have that personal relationship in knowing Christ. Now, you got so many people today depending on other people. That's, I mean, for prayer, you name it, studying the word, and they just want to feed off people. They don't want to do their due diligence. Well, guess what, people? Here's the alert, that things that is happening now is going to be pushing you towards getting to know Christ for yourself. You're going to be running to people, as you have, trying to get an answer here and answer there, and mouth's going to be closed. You're going to come across people that when you was running to them, they said, oh, the Lord has given me to tell you this and tell you that. Well, guess what, people? It's going to come to the point where their mouth's going to be closed. They're not going to be able to tell you anything, okay? Because, see, this is the time right now that you have to personally know Jesus for yourself. People, listen, you got to buckle down in there and pray. You got to buckle down in there and get in that word. And too many of us right now have been depending on other people. Now, God is merciful to a degree where he will allow certain things, but it's just like with your kids. When you was training them and teaching them and growing up, especially like, for example, when you were teaching them how to tie their shoes. Well, when they first started trying to tie them, they were messing up, you would jump in there and help, and you'd be talking to them at the same time. But then it got to a point, as they got older, they might still have that little trouble. You said, listen, take your time and tie your shoes. Do it the way I said it. You didn't run in there as fast. Well, That's what we're looking at right now, people. We're looking at this time right now. There's so many people who have been dependent on other people for, quote, their spiritual journey, their spiritual advancement and all that. It's now God is showing them, say, hey, you got to know me for yourself, okay? And you'll find some people, they're getting frustrated. They're getting upset. They even getting mad at the people who don't have that, quote, word for them now. You know what I'm saying? They're getting upset with them, like, why you can't tell me, you know? And then some of the people who was giving them, quote, a word constantly is trying to make up stuff. And now they finding out that those people are wrong. So I'm telling you right now, people, what we're experiencing here in Christianity, one of the things is an imbalance. Yes, the Lord told you that the ministry got to teach you the word, but guess what? He also told you that you have to get in there and study yourself, okay? So that's balance, okay? And we have failed in many areas on that area of balance. And like I said, you got people, I mean, you got to pray. I used to call them the pray for me people. And I ain't trying to be funny. They're the ones that don't have no prayer life, supposed to be believers, don't get in the word. But every time they come around, you see, oh, pray for me. Pray for me. Did I do the Lord's will? Pray for me this and that. And don't get me wrong, we're told in the word to pray for one another. But here's the other part where you got to watch out for. You got the people, I call them the pray for me people, because they won't pray personally many times themselves. They say a little something here and there and go on by their business, okay? But when they run into some kind of trouble, they want to run and find somebody else to pray for them, okay, instead of praying for them themselves. Now, see, you understand this. There are different types of prayers according to the scripture. And, for example, one of them is the prayer of agreement, where two or three are gathered together in my name. The Lord said, I will be in the midst, okay? So there are some things that, as a believer, we would encounter that you would need another one or two to come together in prayer with you because of the heavy demonic resistance that you're facing. But in other sense, we're told to pray personally, ourselves to pray. We are told to pray for others, and we are told to pray for ourselves. Once again, people, let's go back to balance. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a balanced God, okay? He's not in balance. He's not one-sided, okay? You know, he's balanced. Just like he cares about your spiritual life as well as your natural life. And you notice in the Word of God that Jesus talks about not only the spiritual things, but he talks about natural things as well. And so he wants us to be balanced. Once again, our problem is we lean to one or the other. And, you know, many times the bad thing about it, some of us lean more to the natural than the spiritual, okay? Yeah, because we're going by our sense realm of what we see, okay? And many times we let what we see dictate our whole life, okay? We let what we see tell us many times we're better than other people. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. And, you know, it's sad. It really is. So we're looking at this hour right now that you can't depend on grandmama anymore. You run to grandma, grandma pray, grandma give me a word all the time. Now grandma's turning to you and saying, hey, baby, I wish I could tell you something, but I ain't got nothing to tell you. Now you're upset with grandma. You can't run to granddaddy no more. You've been running to granddaddy. Granddaddy been praying and praying for you. And all of a sudden, you know, you run to granddaddy for a word, and granddaddy, now you run to him, and granddaddy said, hey, baby, I wish I could tell you something, but I ain't got a word. So that's what we're looking at this hour. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless, brother.
Greetings. Peace. Love and brotherly love. Okay, you was finishing your statement, brother.
Well, I just letting the people know we're in this time now where it's gearing people to get more personal with Christ, a more one-on-one relationship, and how that now these things that is events and things that's happening is propelling people to get into a personal place. Many of these people that's been depending on other people for praying for them, studying for them, all of that. Now these things are happening, and they're running to people, brother, and the same people they were running to where they were saying, I need to hear a word from the Lord. Tell me something. And the people was giving them this and that. Now they're starting to run to people and found out the people saying, I wish I can tell you something, but I ain't got nothing. Okay? And this is where we, because their dependency on people. And brother, like I said, we know the Lord is merciful. We know he's gracious. And he allowed things up to a degree. But when it comes to the point where you got to get it down in there and pray, you got to get in there and study. It's going to come. It is really at that point, brother. And so many people had spent and try to build their whole lives around brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. You know, if I need a word, you know, I'm running to them. And instead of coming to Jesus themselves, they've been dependent on people. So now we in this time now where the events and things are happening and it's closing in on people, and they run into some of the same people they run into, you know, every time. And now these people don't have a word. They don't have a word. Okay?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's quite true. Quite true. You know, at times we admonishing people, you know, about this personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus is so important, and that they, it's just like a family member getting to know the father and the mother and the children, getting to know closeness with those, the parents. And I think you're quite right, because this is showing up that we have been depending totally too much upon others people's faith, their life, their prayers. And we've been talking about this for the last 15, I know I brought it up back some time ago about people having, depending upon other people's prayers, on a person's faith too much, looking to this certain special person for a word, direct word from the Lord, and depending on them hearing from God and them getting a word for them. They run into this preacher, run into this prophet, run into this, says, "You got a word for me." And so they're used to getting this prophecy and this new world, running from church to church and meeting to meeting and from place to place. And now they're kind of in a mess, because dumbfounded, the people they're running to are not there, and people that they've been looking to is not there. And so now they don't have a real close-knitted relationship with Christ. So they're kind of troubled. They're kind of in distress. So you're quite true about that. Quite correct. Now they're wondering, where is that prophet? Where is that here? Where is that evangelist I've been depending on? Where is that pastor? Even a pastor, you're not totally dependent upon him. You're not to depend upon him. You depend upon him to help you to build a personal relationship with Christ yourself, and to build you up and show you the way to build your own foundation in Christ. Quite accurate, because for many years, many Christians, good, loving, caring believers, have been running from this place. Oh, I heard this brother got a word for the Lord. He got a ministry and word, so let's run over here and get this. And then after that played out, then they meet a brick wall. Then let's run over here to this sister. I heard that she's a prophet, and let's get a word from the Lord. And then this sister's strong. Let me go here and get her strength and get her prayer life. Or let me get a prophecy, a deliverance, or whatever. So that way they don't have to do much work. You don't have to do much commitment or any agonizing prayer or fasting or travailing or studying or researching or standing before the Lord. I'm going to run over here to prophet so-and-so. And so that just about to play it out. What are you going to do with you? Do you have a real relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus? Well, I've been depending on pastor or the evangelist. All I do is shout and jump and say, "Hey, man, thank God for that word." and the pastor has a responsibility to give you certain to edify you, but the main problem is to get you into a place where you know God for yourself, know the Holy Spirit for yourself, know the work of God for yourself, build your own foundation, your own root in Christ. So many Christians don't have that firm, established, rooted, grounded, personal, intimate walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus, because they're depending on these great ones, that God has given certain ministries. And there you go. And no prayer life for their own self, no study time or meditation time or such time or fast time or waiting upon the Lord to know him and to build a solid ground relationship and foundation. So that's going to be hurting right now. You're right about that. I got to agree with that. I got to agree with that 100%, bro. 100%. Add another 101%. Okay. So.
And you know what? And you know what, brother? Like I was saying the other day, if you, like I said, and once again, I'm not trying to discredit anybody. I know the Lord uses whomsoever he will. I know there is the prophetic ministry. I understand that. But, brother, if you were to look on YouTube now, brother, I mean, and it's steady increasing. Man, I mean, some or whoever now, I got a word from the Lord. I got a prophet. Everybody, and the display now is like the prophetic is the only thing going. And what's, to me, I see that's dangerous is that is, you know, in this time right now, when you got what we're talking about now, people that won't get in the word, won't study, who just run around looking for a word, the devil see that, okay?
Yep.
He sees that. And so you're open to be deceived because you thinking that the only word you can get, it got to come through somebody else, okay? That, you know, and it concerns me, brother, because some of these, to be honest with you, I've seen on YouTube, you know, you got anywhere, I mean, brother, from talking about, you know, your husband, it's expressed on your husband coming, you know, it's expressed on that. Now, it's a couple of them I've seen that I could say, okay, perhaps, hey, they may be pretty, you know, legit. But for the most part, I see the uprisal of everybody's got a prophetic word. And when they coming on, brother, some of them coming on, and I just got to be honest with you, revealing themselves. And when I mean revealing themselves, I mean showing breasts, whatever. I mean, and I got a word for you. You know, amen.
Man, you ain't got a word for how you ought to be. Well, I think you ought to get a word for yourself first. Get a proper word, you know. And, I don't want to make light of some legitimate ministry. We have some. And we have some wise and good ministries, but now the whole thing seems to be filled with the network. I'm a prophet. I'm a seer. I got a word. I got a word from the Lord, and here the people go that are weak, not solid, strong, just running from here to there. That's okay to hear ministries that have a work, and you go and be ministered to them. But when you totally depend on that and build no relationship with God for yourself in his presence, you're in a dangerous place. That's why you're ready to be deceived. You put your sister depending on some word that come out of a man's or woman's mouth, and that's what you're looking to, and you're not solid in the written word, and you're not in your relationship with Christ yourself. So the warning was given to us about all these prophets in the last days. And now is the season where everybody seems to want to be a prophet or a seer. I got a word I heard from the Lord. And everybody should learn a very lesson about this Mr. Trump thing. When all those, some of them were legitimate good men and women and pastors and evangelists and prophets, legitimate people, you should learn a valuable lesson from this. Yeah. Oh, hundreds of them prophesied that Trump was going to win. I got a word from the Lord. The Lord told me. Lord gave me this vision, gave me this personal rhema word. This should put people unaware. All of those men, some are real good, legitimate, reputation men and women, they're just giving the word from the Lord on TV, all over radio, pastors, great churches. Trump going to win. I got a word from the Lord. I got a word God told me. I mean, hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And win. So now we got to be very careful. This should is a warning sign. This is a signal. Oh, to me, I got to go into the presence of God and learn the presence of God and the word of God and the truth of God. I got to hear from God directly for myself, besides hearing God speaks to his ministers or his apostles. I got to check everything. I got to recheck everything. And so there put the danger that many people place themselves in. Oh, so you're right about that. We have to be very, very, now that word failed about Mr. Trump, all of those great ministers on TV, I heard them, they're kind of quiet now, get quiet.
Yeah, I can imagine so.
You know, it's one of them things. They miss it. The error.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to call all them false prophets. They gave a false prophecy,
right,
but that don't necessarily make them a false. The ministry of false prophet are built on false truth. They erred. They went into the led by the wrong thing, and they made an error. Now, one error don't make you a false prophet, though, even though people think if you make one mistake or one error, and they make you a false prophet. That's not true. But I know what the Old Testament says. I know exactly what the Old Testament is about, giving a word that doesn't come from Jehovah. So anyway, you're quite correct with that. You're correct, brother, to give this warning or admonition to the believers everywhere. I didn't follow the ministries on there because I didn't listen to a lot of ministries. I just now and then would hear a few ministers. And had a respect and a high regard for a few of them. But now so many on YouTube and all around us. And so I've been lately, in the last 2 years, man, there's so many people on it got a word and a special anointing and this and that. And wow. And so we have to be very, very careful and scrutinize, carefully check everything. So you're right about that. We have to warn the people individually. They have to know the Lord for themselves and the walk of God for themselves. And they have to have a prayer life. You know, people, and I always said this, brother, and I'm going to say, and I made this remark. I know this is kind of offensive and kind of maybe abrasive, but I always say that Christians are kind of lazy when it comes to spiritual things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes a broad statement, but in general, Christians, they don't like to do the hard work. they want the pastor to do all the hard work, or the evangelist, do all the spiritual carrying and lifting for them, and they just kind of glide along on the boat. Jesus told the disciples when the boat was sinking, and they were in the boat in the wind, and Jesus was teaching them a valuable lesson. He says, oh, you know what he's telling them? Get your own faith. You waking me up, and I'm in the boat, I'm sleeping, I'm resting. Where is your faith? So he told the disciples, get your own faith. I'm training you to get your own faith. You know? So that's quite
Amen.
True. That's quite true. Hallelujah. And so that's a timely admonition that you're giving, admonishing them. Hallelujah. And that's a great word that's giving to people who are followers of the Lord. And, you know, it's great to have a man or woman, God, that has a ministry and work of watching the apostle, bishop. So that's great. But what if they're not there? What kind of foundation you got? What if they moved away or they're taken away? What kind of grounds are you standing on? But anyway, that's a great word. I want to read my scripture, and so the sisters are alone, and my
sister
always...
Well, we got Sister Stella. We got Sister Stella on. God bless Sister Stella.
God bless.
God bless. God bless you. Good to have your voice. So let me read my scripture and get it out the way. And First Peter, 1 and 18. I haven't got Bible here, but the Bible, it says that in Peter, first as much as we know that we're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold or bronze or jewelries or any kind or any earthly thing, but by the precious blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
By the precious blood offering of the Lord Jesus, without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing.
Amen.
Redeemed unto God. And, you know, in Galatians 3, chapter 11, it talks about Christ becoming a curse and sin for us. Curses everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Christ became a curse and redeemed us from the curse of the law and also for the curse of Adam. And there is more to that than we just glimmer on the top of that. It's deeper. It's expanding. It's greater than what we have comprehended. What redemption includes in its completeness, in its totality, the redemption. So, okay, glad you are on with us, Sister Stella. And so I'm going to cut off here and give each one. You know, what was on my mind was about and also about what Brother Nate, why was Jesus and so concerned about the poor? And I was thinking today when we talk, many people around the world are poor and lacking their necessary provisions for life, and that there are many people today, I just want to know, how do I provide or get provisions for my life? They're wondering about their financial state. There's a lot of people having financial problems. What else do I have? We have family problems. Then we have emotional and mental anguish. Then we have physical problems and also spiritual problems. But a lot of people are having job problems, finance, and they want to know, you know, what can I do to get out of a situation where I don't know what to do? I'm having all kind of financial problems. What suggestion can we give? What kind of advice can we give about family problem, mental anguish, or emotional problem? And a lot of people want to know because they hear a lot about heaven, going to heaven, and making ready for heaven, which is the most important decision. But they want to know, what about my problem, my now problem on the earth? Is God concerned about my now problem? Is God concerned about my financial job problem, my family problem, my lacking of food and necessary substance? God concerned about my mental anguish, my emotional problem, my family problem? So I just, that was on my mind. So I thought I'd throw that out there. That was really on my mind. See, Jesus just talk about heaven alone. He talked about what we need to, how do we deal with things in this life, in this world. And when people are hungry, they want to know, well, hey, bro, what about some food? Can you tell me about some food here? I mean, you have to, the gospel has to deal with the now problems in people's lives. It just, because Jesus didn't just deal with them for eternity, but he dealt with the life that we live now. Okay, anyone have
Amen.
Any comments on what God has given you? We don't use that. I don't use my time up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sister Stella is the only one online, so just you and us three, brother, so we have to use the time up. So we just, that's good. We only got three people tonight, And we miss our other two, so but we'll carry on and hope they're well with them. So you have any words you want to give to us, Sister Stella?
Yeah. Okay, I thank the Lord for being on the line tonight, and I thank him for all of his blessings that he has bestowed upon us and upon our families and upon the peoples in the whole entire world, and I thank him for it, and the answer to all our problems and all our needs today is Jesus, and when he died upon the cross of Calvary, he took care of the whole man. He did not only die, you know, just for our, you know, for our sins alone, but he took care of all our financial, and he said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We even have peace of mind. We have total prosperity in every area of our life. And even Paul said he wished that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prosper. And so so he is important. He cares for us, you know, as a whole person, and he even our sickness and our diseases, because the stripes that was on placed on his back and it was for our healing. And so when that blood came forth, it came forth from out of all of his pores and even on the thorn that they put on his head, blood came from that. And so he was like covered in blood, and the blood even ran from him down to the foot of the cross. And so, I remember Brother Lee taught us years ago, and you said Jesus was up on the cross, and he said, "I thirst." Uh-huh. And you asked us, "So what did he thirst for?" And said, "He thirst for his people." They thought he wanted water, but he wasn't thirsty for that. And he was saying, he was saying that thirst cannot be quit until my children come unto me. And so that's the only thing to satisfy that thirst of Jesus is when we come to him and accept him as our Lord and our Savior. You know, and I thank the Lord for his great blood sacrifice that he made for us, because that blood is so precious. So precious, you know, and he wants us to embrace it. He wants to embrace, you know, everything that he's done for us on the cross of Calvary, and he wants us to accept that, you know, as our own personally, you know, and he wants us to apply that blood to every area of our life, even our financial, you know, things that we don't pay our bill, we can't see our way here, and we can't see our way there. And so that's when we have to really stand on the promises of God. And, you know, and he don't want us to be worried about this, and he don't want us to be worried about that, because he already has taken care of it. Because I remember being back in 2019, and I was getting worried about this here, how I'm going to do this here, Lord, how I'm going to do this. And I had things just planned for 2020. You know, I was saying that if I could just, you know, get this here, I can make this here end me. I can make this end me. And I was just worried. And God has already taken care of it for me. And I just thank him for that, because he don't want us to worry about tomorrow. Because, tomorrow is just not promised to us. He said this day, one day at a time. He never promised us that tomorrow. And so that's what I be trying to do when things try to come up over me and overwhelm me. And what I do, is that one day at a time. Take no thought for tomorrow, because he never promised you tomorrow. He's already there. Everything is already playing out. You know, like he know that he know my beginning, he know my middle, and he know my end. Just like he even was there, he already done wrote your book. You know, and so he knows that, and I thank the Lord, you know, for what he's doing in my life and what he's doing in my family life and what he's going to do and what he's already doing, and and everything. And so everything, you know, is you know, planned by him concerning our life.
Amen.
That's all I have to say.
Amen.
Amen.
We got two more sisters on with us. God bless you, Sister Helen and Sister Anderson. God bless you.
Anybody that's late, the door is kind of soon. So, you know, you get penalized when you're late, you know. What color did we put on the late goers there? Glad to hear. Great.
All right.
God bless you. You know, I
Amen.
Didn't treat you.
I agree.
When
I said amen. I agree with you. I'm late.
Me too. You know what?
We know what, you know.
I just the Lord tonight for being late and for what I heard, you know, when I got on running late out of town doing things. And I just truly thank the Lord, you know, for his word. Because his word is truth, and his word is everlasting. And, you know, and I just truly thank the Lord, you know, for all things, you know, for his grace and his mercy, for his blood that he shed for us on the cross. I just truly thank the Lord. And I'm sorry for being
Amen.
Late.
Amen. Oh, okay, sister. Love you. You're about business and taking care of business for things. And we thank God for you if you're late. Because, you know, we're grateful for you. You're always faithfully on the move. Because I said one thing about you, be on the move. You don't let grass be on your feet. No grass, don't get tired to grow up on your feet. You be out good works and doing good things. I want to ask a little question here. Because we have to come back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
People are concerned about what's going and what's not going right and helpful in their life. And Jesus always dealt with life. And a lot of times, for example, do you think that your personal welfare or financial condition, inspiration, what advice would you give young people in particular and families that are dealing with financial crisis? What advice you found as you dealt with people who are in difficulty, especially when the great crisis that people are having about is financial crisis and difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know, and young people, what advice you give young people, you know, want to drop out of school and they want to blame somebody for their, why they ain't got a job, they got to go and steal and, you know, sell some drugs. So what is education? And preparation has to do with our stability of meeting our needs. What is that has to do? Anybody want to give advice on that line of suggestion?
Okay, well, you know, I have had a talk with some of the young kids there, you know, at the club. And, you know, and they, you know, they talk about, you know, sometimes the reason that they don't have this and they don't have that. And it all depends on their mindset, you know, how they see themselves and how they see things. And when they begin to blame others for not having or for not doing, and you have to, like, encourage them and tell them that you can be whatever you want to be. You know, you have to change your way of thinking, you know.
Uh-huh.
And just like, for example, this little boy that I have in my class, and you know, and it's hard for him to learn. And so, and you know, and they had already rated him. And I began to start working with him and have to instill in his mind that you can do this. And I began to break his words down into syllables and let him spell the first part. And then I would spell the second part. And that began to encourage him. And he would begin to get joyful in that he could actually spell that word. And sometimes I would have them to just take their finger and write it in the air. You know, you have to make fun, you know, in order to, you know, to teach, you know, teach them when they part of learning, but you have to instill in them that it's nobody for you being in the condition that you're in. all okay. it takes to change your mind and say, mm-hmm. I'm going to be this here, and you can be this. Because that's
yeah.
just like the courage to speak to the class. And she was saying that how, you know, she was slow in reading and learning and everything, and she wanted to be an attorney. She knew exactly what she wanted to be. And even though all the discouragement was there, she pressed her way. And she told mm-hmm. them, that, she said, look, she said, I'm not no lawyer. She said, I'm a judge. She said, when they said it, I wasn't going to make it. She said, I was determined that I was going to make it. And,
okay.
you know, and mm-hmm. I said, would like to encourage the young people,
yeah.
you know, that you can be what you want to be. You can have what you want to have. All you have
mm-hmm.
to do is the way that you think. And
amen.
You know, you put God first in mm-hmm. your life,
yeah.
and you can have it because the Bible says you have what you say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So,
amen.
Amen.
I
amen.
Want us to come and deal with the crisis in detail, like Christ was sitting there dealing with their problems. Says, okay, Jesus, I got this trauma. I can't get a job here. I'm on the street. See,
mm-hmm.
the gospel has to be relevant to people's needs on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to address their problem and what
mm-hmm.
the resolution. Now, it's easy to tell them they don't have to do any work and they don't have to develop their talent,
mm-hmm.
telling them they don't have to go to school. Yes,
mm-hmm.
you think that everything mm-hmm. is just going to drop out of the sky and mm-hmm. like the matter that fell upon man, you don't have to do nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't need to go to school. I don't need to develop my talent, my ability. Well, why do you think God gave you a brain and a mind to develop?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't develop skills in life, that
mm-hmm.
means you'll be lacking skills in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how do you think you're gonna progress and get a better situation in your life if you don't prepare? See,
yeah.
here's
mm-hmm.
the thing about telling them out, you know, Jesus is not going to solve all your problems. Here's what I tell people. I said, Jesus give you the tool to solve your problems.
Yeah.
I said, he's not going to solve your problems without you cooperating with him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Cooperating means you're going to have to do your part. Do you get
Amen.
That?
Amen.
Don't lay it all on Jesus. Now, he's going to give you the tools and the means.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to do it for you.
Amen.
See, he's not going to go to school and operate that math every day and get up and study for you and go and get the books. He's not going to
mm-hmm.
do it for you. He's going to provide.
That's right.
Amen.
So, just like that girl needed encouragement and strength in order to develop confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If she didn't develop confidence, then she wouldn't go
mm-hmm.
out and strive for what she wants, which was being
uh-huh.
a judge or lawyer. So
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
it's not going to come just because you want it. You're going to have to do something.
Amen.
I said you're going to have to do faith without
right.
doing, without work. No, no, no.
Indeed.
You dropping out of high school
mm-hmm.
and thinking that life's going to get easier for you. You dropping out of college, dropping out of school. No, 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 no. Jesus gave people talents and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to develop them.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
why do you think it's necessary to tell people that financial problems does not always depend on somebody feeling sorry for them, but
mm-hmm.
rather somebody having compassion on you and telling you what your problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how you resolve it. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you want to sit up and get some money from the state and just sit up and say,
mm-hmm.
a lot of young people say, well, I have a bunch of children, then I just draw a check. Okay,
mm-hmm.
every month.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality in some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't give you that mentality, not the word. You know, all in the Bible talks, Jesus talked about work, by doing work. You know, he never
mm-hmm.
talked about being lazy. I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, you think you're going to be lazy? Lazy
mm-hmm.
in prayer, lazy
mm-hmm.
in study.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy in going to school,
Late in talking to family problems, taking time for your children, taking time for your husband, taking time to cook him a meal to create a better atmosphere. You ought to be doing this. No, you be a servant and take care of your husband, your wife, clean the house.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't got to cost you saved. You ain't got to clean the house. You ain't got to wash the clothes. Wait a minute now. We got to teach people why all these things are important and nice because God needs it. So I'm worried about a lot of people who are in crisis now. And they're in crisis mode. Our young people dropping out at the first year. Tell them why they need to go back to school. Jesus, what Jesus has for them. But they got to develop everything that God has given them to have a better life. You got to develop and work. Never encourage laziness. Doing
that's
nothing.
Right.
Never. Never.
That's right.
Amen.
So now people are having emotional problems because they're worried about, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Oh, my God. So put them cigarettes money down and tell them how to use their money wisely. Take away that little that little beer and other stuff you got and fill your chest. Do away these nonsense things and teach them how to get out of that financial crisis.
Amen.
So they don't have to go stealing and robbing and cheating and hustling and muscling and all that kind of stuff.
Amen.
See, we got to show them detail what they have to do. And they think that God is going to all do it all for them. Okay?
Amen.
Anybody want to add any more? Because this is why a lot of people have emotional problems. When you worry and anguish, you're looking for some comfort. So what you going to do? Well, you're going to go to the bottle or to the cigarette or to the puffer or to trying to find you a sugar babe or a honey vibe or something like that. Anybody come along promise you. So you got to warn them of the devices when you get in a emotional despair. Why are you in? What can you do about that despair? What can I do about that anguish? I got three children, and I only get a certain amount for that certain amount of money. And I try to teach people how to use their money. Don't blame the devil for everything. Get out of that stuff. You can't blame the devil for everything now. If you waste your money, don't blame that on him. If you misuse your money, don't be putting that on the devil.
Amen.
You late every day going to the work and lose your job. Oh, the devil. No, ain't that devil. You. You was late.
Amen.
Everything on the devil.
Amen.
So, anyone got any? Go ahead. I'm just throwing that in.
Amen.
Now. Okay.
Amen. I totally agree and thank and praise the Lord for his word that unfolded because it's so true. Because God is concerned about every area of our lives.
Amen.
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 Going to people that are, when you go to somebody, you know, it's like in prayer to find out what area, what position, where their mind is. What kind of mindset that they have, because a lot of times it's that person is the reason they're in the situation that they're in. And so, you know, not only is God concerned about every area of our lives, but on top of that, telling them and helping and directing them. Okay, there are some people that doesn't have food because of their fault. And there are some people just don't have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how to approach them. And I was reading in the Word in Psalms when it talks about the steps of a good man being ordered by God. You know, maybe the way when I go to the Lord in prayer, the Lord will give you somebody that you don't even know. He'll show
you a
face. That you see that person's face, but you don't know that person, you know, and how to approach. We have to know how to approach people when we go to them. It's like not approaching them to like jam the word down their throat.
Yeah.
To go to them. The Lord tells us that to treat people like, you know, love them the way we want to be loved. with our heart, soul, with our strength, with our mind. We approach people the way we want to approach. You know, I'm saying that I'm in need. Don't approach me telling me, well, it's your fault. It's your fault. That's not approaching a Christian.
Amen.
And we also, as well, is how to these children that they don't want to go to school, give them a reason. A reason why it's necessary. You know, now you got to have at least a high school diploma to work at McDonald's. You know, so it's important for kids to go to school and develop. You know, it's one of the things is that every thought, every action, every deed, we gonna have to go before the Lord because of our actions, thoughts, and our deeds. And we can go to Romans. And Romans, if we believe, we have to believe. We can help them in their need, whether it's our food, if they really need a food, or teach them. Because, you know, some people, they have the finances, a way to get groceries. They don't know how to go and purchase groceries. So they'll go to the store, get a lot of junk, and get stuff that they don't need, and then spend and waste their money. People have to go out. And the way the Lord said, he's concerned about every area of our lives. We have to be taught about every area of our lives. We have to be taught. We have to press forward and get behind, encourage people. Sister was talking about, encourage people. You know, they know what they want. They don't know how to get there. Encourage them.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to reach out, and you got to seek what you want. You got to study. You got to stay in school. You got to, if it's necessary, you don't have enough food to get you through, like the brother was saying, put those cigarettes down. You know, not so long ago, I asked somebody, how much do those things cost every time you buy a pack? You know, those things are somewhere around $10, $11 to buy a pack of cigarettes. You know how much food you can buy with $11? Like I was telling a person once, and they were saying how they didn't have enough to make it through the month. So I had to kind of tell them, you can do it this way. You don't have to, but I'm telling you, you can do it this way. If you buy some potatoes, a bag of potatoes, if you buy a roast, you know how many meals after buying one meal and run the rest of it away. A roast and some potatoes and some carrots will take you through a few days. I don't care how many children you do, more than one day. That's what people don't know. Some people, they don't know how to shop. They don't know how to shop even for their personal needs. They do not know how to make it from day to day. But we need to not only tell them the natural side of things, we also need to tell them the spiritual side of things. And Romans says that if they confess with our mouth and you believe Jesus Christ and shall believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. You know, people think Jesus is dead and they think he's still dead, that he died and he's still dead. They think that he was born in a manger and they think he's still in that manger. He is no more little boy in the manger, and he is no more afraid that he died. He lived, he suffered, he died, and he rose again. Okay. And he said that through his blood, you know, that blood of Jesus Christ, it covers so much. It covers so much. And to me, when I think about that, the reason that Jesus shed his blood, and it's so many, you know, I heard the sister talking about putting the crown on his head, and he bled, and piercing him in the hand, and he bled. The scripture talks about the seven areas of his body where he bled, you know. And when we think about all of that, you know, it will make us want to do that. It makes us want to do that if we think about he died, but he rose again to do all of these things for us and to be concerned about every area of our lives. He did it for us. Well, we don't have to worry about these things. Okay, we're human, we're in the flesh, and we're going to worry. And another thing, we have a time where we will give it whatever our situation that we are in, or our need that we are in, we would actually give it over to Jesus. And if it's not, if he don't answer like now, we go back and we take it back because we think we can handle it better. But no, the Lord said, take it to Jesus and leave it there. And that's what we have to do. And because we're concerned about the area of our lives, We have to direct. We have to direct children and other people that Jesus is concerned, and we are too concerned.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's very important that we understand that we have to give. I'm going to give you this again. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Okay. Now, understand this. When they used to come to the church in Chicago, and they'll find out that you're giving, helping them, and they think the help is just giving money.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people, the help they need is not money.
Yeah.
See, but if they're going to change the course of their lives, of their difficulty, it's not just you handing out money alone. So when they would come to the church and they find out that, oh, they give away money or they're helping people, and the word spread, so they start coming to the Church of Christ, and that we had a good will, good heart people at the church, and they just give away, want to give away money. They have a sad story. They bring you a sad story. So I was sitting there saying, oh, what's your problem? Well, I need money. I said, well, what? But I said, what caused the problem? Well, I said, how much money are you getting now? Do you get checks? Let's find out what your problem is so we can give you a solution to some of your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you get money on the check? Do you get medical help? Or do you get this? How much you get? Oh, that's my business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that's your personal business, but you're now getting in my business because you want me to give you money. Since you want to get in my business, I got to get in your business to solve your problem. Now, if I give them $100, that ain't always the answer.
Amen.
Because the next week they're going to need another $100. And the next day they're going to come back. And so what do you fail to give them? You fail to find what the problem is and give them solution where they don't have to continue in that same condition.
Yeah. Amen.
How much rent do you pay? When I ask them those questions, they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I guess you don't need my help. I said, well, let me go to your house and see what your problem is and find out where your children are home. You mind if I go and see what I can help them change the course of your life? Not just giving out money and say bye-bye. No, that is not always the answer. Give them wisdom how to change their life and what they're doing wrong.
Amen.
So they can become a helper to themselves. Helper to themselves. Not crippled depending on you. Are using you or manipulating you. So a lot of time we have to take time to find out what's the root of the problem. I said, how much money do you
get? About a minute and a half, brother.
Okay.
Okay.
When I ask people, especially about financial, why they're in financial problem, I said, how much money do you get a month? I said, what assistance do you get? What about your loved ones, your family? Are you married? See, Christians need to understand to solve problems, you must know why that person is in that problem.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And will continue being that problem.
Yep.
Why are they worried to death? Yeah, you pray for them and deliver them. But if you don't get at the root of the problem, they'd be worried the next month, get back in the same room. So you got to anoint their head with all wisdom, direction.
Amen.
We used all our time. I don't apologize. It was necessary to get into the root of people solving problems.
Amen.
One of that we come to earth and deal with these critical problems. So tomorrow, sorry, Brother Nate, I'm sorry, my brother, but anyway, I'll give a double apology. But tomorrow night, we'll start out at Brother Nate. Be sure he get his 16-17 minutes in.
Okay.
We have to kind of double up tomorrow. But we have to come to earth. Okay, we love you all out there, and we are praying for not only Ukraine, because there's going to be a lot of Ukraine. There's coming a lot of Ukraine. This is just a a prelude to what's coming. So let's pray for the Palenque people, pray for many things that's coming, and the Lord give us wisdom, help people in need. We love you. Jesus Christ is the answer. Call upon him wherever you are, in every place. He will hear your cry from the heart. This is Brother Lee, and who else is our Brother Nate in your heart, Sister Helen, Sister Anderson, and Sister Pig. We hope you see you tomorrow night, and we address the real problems of day-to-day life.
Amen. And may the Lord bless you all and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and God keep you.
God bless.
Amen.
God bless.